second look at all those faces out there. You know, it's a joy to see y'all. Anyhow, this morning, what I want to talk about is I got before the Lord quite a few days ago, knowing that this day was coming up, and started asking the Lord like I always do. And the Lord revealed some things to me, but he said, that's not what I want you to speak about. So whenever he gave me what I wanted to speak about, or what he wanted me to speak about, I said, well, Lord, we hear that a lot. And he said, yeah, we need to hear some more. And me included, me more than anybody. If I had to title it this morning, I'll call it The Battle for Your Mind. A subtitle I want you to keep in your brain this morning is, As a Man Thinketh, So Is He. This one concept, I'm going to use me as an example through most of this like I always do because I'm the perfect example of this. I'm not 100%, April told me this morning, but I'm a lot better than I was. I failed to realize something in my spiritual walk with the Lord that, and I thank God, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, that it's taught so much here, but I wouldn't let it sink in. The greatest battle that anybody will ever face from here on out, and that you've ever faced, won't be on a battlefield, whether you're in the military or not. The greatest battle in the world is not going to be on a battlefield. It's not going to be with the carnal man's weapons of warfare, such as tanks and rifles and explosives and such like that. The greatest battle you and me or anybody else will ever face and fight now and in the future is in the battlefield of your mind. And it took me a long time to figure out how to fight this battle, even though I was getting it right and left, right and left. You have your Bible, let's turn to Isaiah 26, verse 3. We've heard this verse from our pastor, thank God. I'm going to read it in the King James and then in the Amplified Version. This chapter is God. Isaiah has wrote this, but he's talking about God. Thou, meaning God, wilt keep him, meaning the worshiper, the child of God, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And Amplified, it says it like this. You, God, will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you, in both inclination and character. Now, I like the way the Amplified said that because there's two words, inclination and character. I kind of knew what the word inclination meant, but I looked it up just to help us out a little bit. And I'm glad I did because it helped me out a little bit. Inclination simply means an instinctive tendency or feeling that makes a person want to do something. Now, if we apply that to the scripture, that means God will keep us in perfect peace, the one who wants to and runs to him instinctively because they want to, not because they feel like they have to. It's a choice. God will keep that person in perfect peace. And I looked up in the Strong, and it was unusual to me. It's the first time I've noticed it in Strong's Concordance, that those two words are tied together in the Greek lexicon in the translation. They're not separate. They're tied together. You can't click on one and get the... You might can in the book version, but in the one I got, you couldn't get it. Because they go together, perfect peace. And what that means is there was two or three different headings, if you know how the Strongs work. But if you mix them together, what it means is God will keep that person perfectly happy, perfectly friendly, perfectly well, as in your welfare, your health, your prosperity, and rest. That's awesome. Now, we hear that verse, and I don't want to take nothing away from it because I praise God for our pastor that has used it. You know, I've been here 10 years at least over and over, and I've heard it over and over. But until I realized myself and used it the way our pastor was trying to tell me to use it, then it didn't do me much good. So now I know that if I want to stay in perfect peace, I need to actively choose to worship our God. Choose Him. Choose the things Jesus has given us and already paid for, that God has laid out for us and blessed us with. Now let's go to, I don't think I give you this one, Beth. It's Matthew 22:37. I forgot to, for some reason. Matthew 22:37-38. Jesus is talking. It says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 38, he says, This is the first and great commandment. I want to stop right there. Verse 37, he says, with what? All thy heart, all thy soul, and what? All thy mind. So we see in Isaiah, we need to choose to serve the Lord. And Jesus says we need to choose to serve the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, and all of our mind. And then Jesus goes on to say, this is the first and great commandment. What does that mean? This is top priority. This is above everything else. Nothing comes up before this. Because once you learn to choose this and stand on this, everything else will come a lot more clearer in life, or it did me. And God will help you with it. It says in Romans 12:2, I'm going to bring some scriptures up that we've heard many times, but just to keep them in our remembrance. The renewing of our mind. We got born again, our spirit did, but our mind didn't. Our flesh didn't. So we have to renew our mind. Philippians 2:5 says, Let this be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, the mind of Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And now one I would like to, tell Beth, I'd like to put up here, 2 Corinthians 11:3. And I have never thought about this before until I was studying it. I'm getting a little bookmark thing here. I thought this would help me. I'm going to read it first in King James. And this is Paul talking to the people, the born-again believers now in Corinthians. He said, But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now let's read that in Amplified. He said, But I am afraid that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, your minds may be corrupted and led away from the simplicity of your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. It's not hard. It's easy. You just got to get that little click. Where? In your mind. I used to be, whenever I was a kid, ride my bicycle around with my friends and all. When we get to a railroad track sometimes, which... No kid should do this. It's not smart. I would try to ride my bicycle on the rail. And we'd have a contest. One get on one rail, one another, and see how far we could ride it. Yeah, I know. I never could stay on it all the time. Sooner or later, I would ride off of it. I tried as hard as I could. That's what was happening in my life before I realized where I needed to fight my fights. I believe Elijah said, told the some of the people with him, asked God to open their eyes, and Joshua, Moses told the people, children of Israel, the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And we've already been given the victory through Christ Jesus. All we have to do is remember where we have to fight. Well, my problem was I would come to church and get all fired up, hallelujah, amen, that sounds good, that feels good, and then I'd get home and I'd run off that rail. A lot. Something come along, didn't matter. A $25 bill come up, I'd run off that rail. So you can imagine what happened whenever a $200 bill come up and it was hard to pay it. I'd just jump off of it, might as well say. Well, I had to learn, put my trust in God. And it's not that it's hard to do. The problem is it's hard for us to convince ourselves to do it. Because it says right here, Paul said, that by Satan's cunning and the world, we can be led astray and not see the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Now, to use a saying, my success, your success, anybody's success will be determined on the battlefield of your mind. A lot of people out in the world use that, businessmen, motivational speakers. You know why? They've already figured something out that a lot of born-again folks have not figured out yet. I was one of the ones that hadn't figured it out. Remember what I said, as a man thinketh, so is he. You might not believe it, but I'm going to tell you. I may not be 6 foot tall, but if I go around thinking I'm 6 foot tall, I'm going to act like I'm 6 foot tall. Right. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Now, being redheaded and my height, because I want to tell you something. Back when I was going to school, redheaded was not popular. I mean, redheaded stepchild was a byword. And there wasn't that many people in school. I mean, just a handful. And I got picked on real bad, mostly because of my red hair, because until, you know, we got a certain age, I was about the same size as everybody else. Ha-ha. Anyway, it caused me a lot of trouble. And even without realizing it, I had to make myself, I came to a point in my life, because used to I get picked on and make me feel bad. You know, I mean, you know, you can just imagine. Because everybody did it where I went to school. They get tired of picking on a certain person, and 15, 20 of them gang up on me. It made me feel bad, because these people are supposed to be my friends. I had to get to the point in my life to where that didn't bother me. How did I do that? I won the battle in my mind that it's not going to bother me. The same thing is true in our spiritual world. The last time I was up here, remember I said the spiritual world is more real than where we live now. And Satan knows that. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes. And he will do his best at an early age. As soon as he can see that there's an inkling of understanding in a child, he starts throwing evil at him. That's the reason you don't have to teach kids to lie and sometimes steal. They will do it. You know, you would think it was just out of the blue. No, it's evil working in them. And it's our jobs as parents to beat that evil out of them, if need be. Now, I'm with you, brother. Amen. Because it says in the Bible, Scotty said it. Not because Scotty said it. I believe it because Scotty said it in the Bible. You can beat him and he will not die. Now, that don't mean beat him with your fist. That means whoop his rear end until he don't want to do no more evil. Now, we see that Jesus said this is the first commandment. This top priority. The battle for their mind, not only as a single person, it's a lot bigger scale. It's where the destiny of men and nations will be determined. Great men, small men, great nations, small nations. Who leads the nations? Men. Most people, I used to read a lot about military leaders. Sun Tzu, General Patton, just to name a few that whenever I was growing up, I liked history. And I would read about them. The first thing they would do, and General Patton was one of the very successful ones, is to whip his men into shape where they thought there was no possible way they could lose a battle. And they very rarely did. He had a reputation of making his men tough. He would go around to the military hospitals on the field, and back in those days there was people that they would be in so much shock from the atrocities and awfulness of war, they couldn't operate. They just, you know, shut down. The men would. And General Patton would, you know, he would get them up literally, I read this, by the hair of the head and seat of the pants and kick their rear end. So you get back out there. I got a man laying over here. It's took 5 bullets. You're not going to sit here and tell me that this is, you know, you can't handle this. What happened to that poor man is he had not won the battle in his mind yet. What happens to, I say poor believers, to a lot of believers, and I was one of them, is I had not won the battle in my mind yet. But when I did, oh, praise God. Now, I said a while ago, Satan starts at early age. He doesn't stop there. In our public schools, they teach some of the most awful things Maybe not in the one that our children go to so bad, but it's, and in some places it's really bad. Socialism. Now, I'm not being political. I'm going to give you the definition of socialism. Brother Johnny, you got something I want. The government says I can have it. You got too much of it. You got five of them. I want one. The government says I can have it. That's socialism. I don't care if it's money, possessions, food, or what. That's socialism. Our country is not based on socialism. The founding fathers, thank God, were faithful Christian men, and they didn't base the leadership of our country and the forming of it on that. A thing called critical race theory. I'll be honest with you, I have not delved into that to see what it is, but what I've seen, I don't watch a lot of news. It's just, it's not good. I'm not going to even try to, I'm just saying it's not good. And wokeism. And the best I can tell about that, it's somebody that's woke up to this new age of thinking that's totally against God and His Word. And I know for a fact that I've seen and heard this one. Transsexual teachings and ideas that boys can be girls and girls can be boys just because they choose to want to be. That's absolute rebellion against God. His pattern was in Genesis 5, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. God created man in His image. Male and female, He created them. You can't change what God has created. I don't care what man says. Man's idea is he wants to improve on everything. That's the reason every year you get a car that some little something's different on it, and they charge you $50,000 more for it. As far as I'm concerned, you know, they should have just stopped when they were good and just keep making them. But man's not like that. Mankind wants to always mess stuff up. And that is in direct rebellion with God, and it's actually calling God a liar whenever man decides that he wants to teach his children that. Number one, and number two, any parent that thinks that's okay are going really down a long slippery slope that's hard to get back up from. Because God's going to hold you accountable. In the battlefield of your mind, there's going to be a winner and a loser. Just like I said a while ago, it's the destiny of men and nations. It's also your destiny. When you're a winner, there's not but one place you can make the victory and win. Even though you may feel like it in the natural world, there's only one place you can get the victory, and that's in the spiritual world. And the only place the victory comes from is God's Word. The world can't give it to you. It can give you a cheap fake, and it can fool you for a while, and that's what Satan wants. Because now Satan is starting with the children at a young age. And then he's starting in the schools, getting adults to teach things to children that's totally wrong. In Ephesians 6:4, God places the responsibility of what the children are to be taught on the father. A lot of people might say, well, I got to work long hours, so, you know, I let my wife teach. Well, she's got a responsibility to help with that. Number one, and this is not the men's meeting, gentlemen, I know, but this is the way it is. Number one, men are the leaders of the family. They're the head of the household. The family follows the leader. If a man won't lead, then the woman don't have no other choice but take an illegitimate role and lead the family. And a lot of them will. In our day and time, the reason that they're single mothers raising kids is because there's not a man that's there that's supposed to be there to lead that family. That's what's wrong. That's one of the reasons. God's going to hold that man and every man that has a family accountable. And what does that mean? All people are going to stand in front of God one day, both saved and lost. And all men are going to get them accountability to how they led their family. Did you lead your family in the path of righteousness in God's Word? Or did you just say, I don't need that. My kids are doing great like they are. Yeah, they may grow up to be very successful in this world. But if they have not learned in their mind what true success is and not seen the path of righteousness from their father by word and example, they're still on the wrong path. So, Father, teach your children the path of righteousness. Evil wants to suppress and stop truth. What is truth? God's Word says, Jesus said when he was praying for everyone in John 17:17, at that point he was praying for the disciples. Later he said, I pray also for those that believe because of their words. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. That should be in our Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, in the United States of America. I don't get to make that choice, but that's what I think. Now, God's word is truth. Evil wants to suppress truth, wants to stop truth. Why? Because when you have truth in your mind, that helps you win this battle that you've got to fight. Nothing can take it away from you. When you make up your mind that this is truth, and it gets in you and God reveals it to you, can't nobody take it away from you. When you learn how to use it, can't nobody stop you. Satan is terrified of it. You know why? Because you, as a born-again believer, you have the shed blood of Jesus on your life. And when you couple that with the truth, you realize all the things that God's made and already give you, and you start using them. Are you going to have setbacks and trials? Yes, all of us do. But the born-again believer, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to say it, has a rock-solid confidence because they have made this battle in their mind and they've won the victory with their mind. Now they know they got the victory through Jesus. And you put that together, you can't stop you. And there ain't no evil, devil, spirit, demon nowhere can stop you. The only person that can stop you is you and me, all of us. Now, the schools are not the only place we get this junk from. And there's other places. Number one, in the media. You know, that just blows my mind because when I was growing up, the media was the place you went to and heard at least some partial truth, or you got reported what was being told, what was going on. They didn't try to make you believe something that wasn't actually happening as far as they knew. Well, you don't have that nowadays. It's got so bad I don't even watch news anymore. We don't have a television in our home that's tuned to the outside world. And it's not because I'm trying to be holier than thou or better than anybody. I just don't want that junk. I mean, we started a long time ago because of some financial problems. And thank God it turned out to be a blessing, not a hindrance or some kind of a curse or something. We're not missing anything. My children's not missing anything. Thank God. And also, in the high offices in our government, I probably don't even need to go there. Whenever a high school student can see corruption in the government, that's just, I mean, it's got so bad that even, you know, young adults can see it, can understand it. That's bad. So I'm talking about evil wants to stop the truth and where we should hear the truth. So we know that evil's given us the opposite of truth, which is a lie and deception in the media, in the government. Now the one place that we should be able to hear the truth without a doubt, any person in this country, every person in this country ought to be able to go, if they can't find one, at least maybe on the second choice, find a church that teaches and preaches the truth. Oh, thank God this assembly has a pastor and a Sunday school teacher and brings people into us, teaches us the truth, God's word. Non-apologetic, on a stand by word, the Holy Spirit leads him, and by his word indeed, and by her word indeed, we have examples to look to. Thank y'all. I love y'all. Y'all have helped me tremendously. A lot of others in here has helped me. Brother Johnny's inspired me. I mean, here I am, what, probably twice your age, ain't I? Well, not quite. And this young man, at a point in his life, he was leaps and bounds, and probably still is, and it doesn't bother me. But it inspired me. He said, if this young man can do it, I can do it. You know, I got to thinking about that, because in my heart, I feel like I'm about 30. I don't always get there because my body won't strip me up, but I feel like I am, man. Sometimes I feel 15, act like it. But You know, I got to thinking, I said, well, Brother Johnny, you know, he's in his 30s acting spiritually like he's a giant. I'm in my 50s and 60s, and I'm like a toddler running around with a spiritual diaper on. That's not good. I got a family to lead. It's not good. And then we come to church here, and I volunteered to do this for Sister Teresa, but I know why God had me to do it. Because in volunteering to be up here the last Sunday and the times that I am up here, I've learned. God reveals things to me. And whenever God reveals something to you, it gets in here. But that battlefield in your mind, you stand up and you look, you're a God, David. I'm not going to say Goliath. You're a giant whenever you realize all of these things. But anybody in this country ought to have somewhere to go to find the truth. Now, I am a little bit handicapped by the fact I don't go to a lot of different churches, but I see different people at times that say they go to church every Sunday, and I see things out of them that if they're hearing the truth, they ain't doing no mind battlefielding. But I thank God that we get it. We have this blessing. A lot of churches have it, and there's a lot that don't. Our nation can only be made whole through the Bible truth. And everybody in this nation ought to be able to go and find that truth. Because it says in Ephesians chapter 6, Satan's, you know, I want you to look at the battlefront he's got. He starts with a young child before he's in school. He's going to the school. Evil is. He's now in the media and our government. Look at all these fronts that's fighting the truth. But there's one front, the church, the born-again believer. We're the victory. It's already been made. All we need is people to stand up and say, hey, God said this, I believe it. God's word said it, I believe it. I'm not backing down from it. In John 8:32, it tells us that if we abide in his word, we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. There's this, man, that's true. How do you get the truth? What is truth? I already said John 17:17. There's truth is also not a person's opinion. John 17:17 said what? Jesus said, sanctify them in thy word. The last part of that, thy word is truth. Nobody's opinion's in that. That means truth is it's got what God's word says it is, not anything else. Truth is right, not wrong, or in between. Truth is good and not evil. Truth is fact and not fiction. And truth has power. That's the reason we know we have the victory. We have the truth. If you have God's word in your heart, you have the truth. Now the problem is, it says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man go to the Father but by me. John 11:26 says, everyone who believes in me will never die. Man, that's some powerful stuff right there. And I've already said, in the battlefield of your mind, Satan's not your biggest enemy. Evil's not our biggest enemy. The government, nothing is. Our biggest enemy is ourselves. Now, I want you, everybody in here, to do a little example. I did this myself, and it kind of helped me some. I want you to judge yourselves honestly. Be your own judge and jury over your inner self, your mind, what you think about yourself, about anything. Do you see yourself as joyous, peaceful, happy, and friendly? Or do you feel bitter and resentful, burned out, complaining, and feeling hopeless about your future? Proverbs 26:3 says, so as a man thinketh, so is he. What you have to do, and what I had to do, is learn to drive out the things that was killing me on the battlefield. And I need to take in the things that was going to help me win this victory on the battlefield of my mind. Your thoughts is what you choose to think. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, what Satan throws at you. You can choose to think that or not, especially born-again believers, because every born-again believer at some point in their life has heard the truth because they're born again. Now, they might not be real deep in it, but you can choose what you believe and what you don't want to believe, or think, rather. And that determines your attitude. And all your attitude is, your attitude determines your attainment. All attainment means is what you strive for, what you get, what you work for. So if you change your thoughts, you change your attitude. When you change your attitude, you change what you get. And any of us can change to choose what we think. I'm a prime example. Now, imagine in your imagination the wonderful thing that God gave us that I love to use, two categories. The first one is the bad. It's full of worry, fear, anger, and doubt, among a lot of other things. Those are the ones I want you to... And on the other compartment, which is good, I want you to think of love, joy, peace, and hope. Now, who in their right mind is going to choose the bad? Why would you choose to want the good but think on the bad because what you think is what you're going to get? So if you want good, think good. Now, being carnal in the world, that will work for a while. But that will not get you into God's, into heaven, and that will not get you into God's salvation through Jesus Christ. But it is a step toward the right direction. Now look at yourself. These two categories, like I just said, which ones would you pick? I know all of us, everybody wants good. But I had made the mistake of wanting good and picking bad because I would worry. And I'm a lot better at worrying because I rarely ever do it. And if I do, I shoot it down. I do exactly what Brother Scotty does. I stand up and say, "Devil, get away from me. The Word says if I resist you, you have to flee. I'm not going to worry about it. Lord, I put this in your hands. I can't do it. You can." And I have to choose to stay there. If you keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, God's up here, "Which one do you want, son?" You know. But pick a side, one way or the other. Jesus said to the church of Laodiceans, "I wish you was either hot or cold, not lukewarm." If you're constantly worried, you're guaranteed to fail. Guaranteed. It don't matter what it is. Spiritual, carnal, doesn't matter. If you worry, you're going to guarantee yourself to fail. Because when you worry, you're telling God as a born-again Christian that you do not have confidence in His ability to take care of you. That's what I was doing. I would come to church and get all hyped up. "Yeah, Lord, I believe it, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And I'd go home and start slipping. And, "Oh, man, well, I don't see nothing. Lord, what's going on? Why, Lord?" I was slipping. I was running off that rail. I should have been saying, "Lord, I can't see it, but I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to stop believing it." And one of the key things that helped me, Brother Scott, he says, "Well, somebody asks, what if you die and it ain't happening?" He said, "I'm going to die in faith." It can't be no more pleasing to the Lord than that. You've done all you can do. You stood. You stand to the end. If the person who chooses true love, joy, and peace and hope is going to succeed. When you couple that with God's Word, you have nowhere to go but up. You'll be a pleasant person. Everybody will be noticed to be drawn to it. If you're the other one, your attitude is going to be what people see. Now, all attitude is, it's an inward feeling expressed by outward behavior. If you have a good attitude, everybody loves you. And I'm going to tell you what, I experienced this whenever I wasn't going to church, the place where I worked. I seemed to have a bad attitude. I had a bad attitude. At break, if I went and sat amongst them, all my buddies I worked with, five or six of them, a few minutes, I was the only one there. "What are you laughing at, Sister Tree?" So I asked them one day, I said, why do y'all do that? They said, well, you ain't nothing but a pain, and you know what they said. I said, why? Well, you're constantly complaining about something or this or that, or, you know, just yeah. You're not any fun to be around. And I had to change that a little bit. I didn't change a lot, but I changed a little bit. Then they got to where they'd hang around me some. And that bona fide actually happened. You know, I was not going to church trying to learn God's word to be a good spiritual Christian. I was just out there in the world being myself, and nobody liked me. So I told myself, so I stopped complaining so much, people started like being around me. And it tells us, God tells us in Joshua 1:8, like I said, a lot of these things we've already heard, but like a lot of other things to me, it's revelation to me. So now that I've got it, I ain't going to get rid of it. Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua, meditate on my word day and night, and thou shalt make thy way successful. In other words, God says, I've already got it here. All you got to do is take and run with it. And this is how you do it. Your attitude is a portrait of your mind. It can be your best friend or your worst enemy. And like I said, it draws people to you or repels them and makes them run away from you. Your attitude, now remember, your attitude is linked to your mind. It'll never be content until it is expressed, good or bad. So I'll tell you how I come about knowing this one day. I had a lot on me at the time, some stuff going on, financial stuff and some other stuff. And I was going down the road one day, I'll never forget it. I was going down I-65 right at the exit where I-459 comes into it. And I was listening to some preaching on the radio, and they had started some singing, and I was singing along with them. And when they got done, the preacher said, you know, when you're praising the Lord, you can't worry. When you're praising the Lord, you can't doubt. When you're praising the Lord, you can't speak opposite of what you're saying. So I got to thinking about that. So every time I got to feeling down, I say every time, most of the time, I would start trying to praise the Lord. I've got a habit I like to do every day. It's just me. Every morning, sometime between the time, I usually do it on the way to work or before, but I try to do it at least on the way to work. I say, Lord, thank you for this day. I did it today, right, a little while before we got to church. I don't like cold weather. I never like cold weather. God allows me to choose if I do or don't like something. But it's pretty outside today. So I said, Lord, thank you for today. And I did it yesterday too. I will rejoice in this day because you made it for me. Somewhere or another, there's going to be a blessing in today for me. And whether I think it's going to be a great big blessing or what, I get to live the whole day in the Lord. I'm blessed. So I speak that over myself every day. And April heard me today, but she don't hear me most days. Why am I doing that? Because I'm not going to let what's going on in my mind dictate how I'm going to win. My mind is going to be stayed on the Lord as much as I possibly can. Do I do it 100% of the time, 24/7, every single second? No. But I do it a whole lot that a lot of people don't know about. I talk to the Lord. Some mornings I wake up before I'm supposed to wake up, and I just lay there for a while and kind of, I call it wallering, you know, just turn around, look around, I can't go to sleep. So I always lay there and waller and just listen for the Lord, commune with Him. And I talk to Him in my spirit. And I love it. It's got to where I like to do that. Now, you say, I want to change this. Okay, you can't change anything that you don't confront. And just like I thought, I'm not going to get finished with this today, so I'm going to be here next month with it. Because this revelation, I just love talking about it. If you don't confront what's going on with you that you don't like, you can't change it. I don't care what it is. In the natural, in the spiritual, born again, lost, doesn't matter. If you keep running away from it, it's never going to do anything except maybe get worse. It's not going to get better. The one way you can do that is believe in yourself as sons and daughters of God. Born again believers are special people. Does that make us better than everybody else? No. But we're special to God. God loves everybody in the world so much, He says it in John 3:16, that He sent His Son as a sacrificial death to take care of all the sins so a man would have a path back to Him and be redeemed and be able to come back to God. That's what that verse means. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whenever we are born again, we are priceless to God. God says, Jesus is the first of many brethren. We are heirs and joint heirs with Him in the things of God and His kingdom. God is trusting us, the church, the born again believers, to lead this cursed world out of the curse back into blessing. We are something else. Now, we're also not supposed to think more of ourselves than we ought to. Paul said it. You can get carried away with that. But you do not stand back and let the world dictate to you what you believe and what you don't believe, what you think and what you don't think. Stop saying, I can't. But like it says in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stop saying if, but say I will by the grace of God. Stop saying this is impossible. But like it says in Mark, say all things are possible to those that believe. And it says in Romans chapter 8, and are called according to His purpose and will. We, folks, born-again believers, are priesthood unto God. We are mediators between the lost world and Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, that we have the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? God is counting on us, as I said before, to bring His Word to a lost and dying world, to lead by word and example and be a light in the kingdom, so when people get tired of this world and hit very bottom, have nowhere else to go, they say, oh yeah, Brother Monty said that if I would do this, where's he at? That's what we are supposed to do. And I'm not bragging on myself. But if you walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh of the world, there's going to be a difference in you. And when you understand how you're supposed to fight the things in this world, it's going to show because your attitude's going to be different. My attitude is different. I don't look from an attitude of what if or trying to attain where I can get to what if. I look at things now from an attitude, I'm a born-again believer, son of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died for me to have healing, and for me to have rest, and for me to have victory, and for me to have prosperity, and for me to be the man to lead my family, and to be victory in everything I do, blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. He died for that, so I could have it. If He hadn't, if I wouldn't have it. Me, for one, I'm not going to abuse it. I've already spent, I do countless times, I know God's forgiven me, but sometimes I feel a little guilty and I say, Lord, forgive me. I know I said it before, forgive me for wasting all those years that You give to me that I didn't take advantage of. Well, I'm going to stop right there today. But I'm going to come back to this next time. But I just want everybody to keep in your mind, young folks, especially. As a man thinketh, so is he. Put God in your heart, God in your life, God in your footsteps, and His Word in every single thing you can find, all of us. And you can't fail. That's all I got for right now. I don't want to go over today.